Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.
Welcome back, listeners, to the podcast of Three Men for Thee. We're so excited today to have with us Anya Chernikova from Ukraine. And the war continues, unfortunately. Monday, Alan and I were in a Zoom conference with Christian Hickey in Kyiv. He said his power had just been restored, so we started the Zoom conference. And 5 minutes into it, we had a blank screen. Power went out again in Kyiv, Ukraine, and we lost all communication with him. So we're hoping to hear from him in the future. But we're so blessed to have in the United States with us this week, Anya. So Anya, you have an amazing story to tell with your mission. And generally what we usually do is we ask our guests to begin in sharing how they came to find their faith in Christ. So maybe you could share with us that, and then we'll ask some additional questions.
So, yeah, I'm very appreciate being able to be here with you today. And I think that my story is a story of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians. So, actually, for the centuries, Russian propaganda and the fluids tried to destroy our culture. And the war actually started in 2014. And I was at that city where the war started. It's Lugansk. And now this territory is occupied for 8 years already. Mm-hmm. And, I was 18 years old. So for me, it was everything. Not even hard, not even new. Unexpected, because I had a lot of dreams, aspirations, like young lady. I was on my second year graduation of college, and I dream about career, to become a director of the movies, to be an art sphere. But when the war started and I came to my hometown, it's a tiny town in Donetsk region. So we gathered, we could hide there for some time. But once I just lift up my eyes when I was chilling on my laptop, and through the window, I saw the colonnade of tanks riding going down the street where I used to ride my bicycle. So my dad decided to move us, all my family, my mom, my two brothers, and we also took the girlfriend of one of my brothers, because she was hiding in the basement all the time with her family, eating canned food, washing her clothes in the river, because it wasn't electricity in that city, in our small town, actually. So he moved us on a forced vacation to the sea coast, and we was expecting that everything we saw was some misunderstanding. After a couple of weeks, everything will just end quickly. But unfortunately, we was on that sea course for 41 days. And my dad, he was stood up for the company where he used to work. So he came to us after all this shelling, after everything, and he was shocked. So he just opened the map of Ukraine in front of us, and he poked his finger randomly on this map, and he saw the new city in our central part of Ukraine named Vinnytsia. And he said, oh, I always wanted to see this city. So So he tried to make some enthusiasm of this new journey, but actually we didn't know anybody in that city. So we came there and it was our new home. My dad came back to the occupied territory and he stuck there because at the beginning, the borders of this occupied territory was open for a while, but unfortunately they closed all the borders for men. So when he came there to his mom, because she, like an old woman, she didn't like to move anywhere. She said, it's my home. My husband is barred here. I don't want to go anywhere. I just built this house by my own hands, so I will stay here. And he couldn't live here. He couldn't leave his job, anything. So he just went there to protect our house. And he stuck there. My mom was bleeding for 8 months. My 16-year-old brother said that he is not believe God anymore. And my 7-year-old brother didn't talk for 1 year because of the trauma. And nobody knows how to react on the war, how to behave with refugees or internal displaced people. So we was bullied a lot at our works and at school. And I needed to work for my family because I was the one of adult members of the family who is still healthy and who could work for paying rent for the apartment. So I was working hard for 9 months, but after that I quit because I was just exhausted. My body said stop, so I just fell down on the bed and I didn't stand up for 2 weeks because I was dizzy. I threw up for 2 weeks and I was depressed because all these 9 months I just closed all my experience, my pain, the betrayal of my friends, everything, that I never saw my home again. So just could you imagine, we came to this new home only with like couple suitcases with swimsuits and bathing suits, you know. And we don't have anything that was important for us. Our family pictures, albums, my posters, teenage posters, my diaries, journals, anything. We just remind everything at the occupied house. And I wave from the car window to my grandma thinking that I will see her after 2 weeks, but I never met her again. So that's why after this depression started, my brother, he already started to visit some youth clubs organized by Christians. And he invited me there. And I don't know even why I agreed, but it was like calling from God. It was just his mercy. And when I came, I saw the eyes of these Christians, of this team, and I understood that my inner light was stolen from me. And it's even more important than other stuff, my house, my childhood memories, university, friends, nothing is such important thing like my inner light, which was stolen by this war. So I began to visit different church meetings and I became a leader of youth clubs and I stayed in the church and I met Jesus Christ. And from that point, I decided that I will serve God with all my life in full-time ministry. So I will just commit everything I have to him because he was the only one who could fill my emptiness after this depression and after everything the war in 2014 destroyed.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Anya. What kind of work was your father involved with? And when you were working, when you were talking about you worked until you decided to quit because of depression, what kind of work were you doing?
My father was a coal miner, so he had a good career, and he couldn't came to the central part of Ukraine and just to work there because we don't have a coal miners at the central part of Ukraine. So I needed to work, and I was like a seller of cosmetics for women, and my job was just going through whole Ukraine, which wasn't occupied, travel and to sell some stuff. opening doors and everything. Not interesting.
Well, it's no, it is in that, in the situation that you were in, God provides a way. And what you said about the tanks, seeing tanks go down your street, I've seen that during the Cuban Missile Crisis, way, way back before you were born in 1962. I was living in South Florida, and the United States had stationed a lot of troops down in South Florida in the possibility that we might have to invade the nation of Cuba. And so I'm sitting in class one day in elementary school, and we hear this sound going down the street, and there was tanks, military tanks rolling down the road right in the United States. And we were just sat there with our mouths open because we, of course, were not told about it, and the military wanted to be secret about it. But I know what it's like to see tanks go down the middle of your street. Although we've so far been spared war here on our soil, but still it is an unnerving thing to see that happen. So I can sympathize with your feelings and with the depression that comes knowing that your world as you knew it was coming to an end. And the whole world in 1962 looked like it might come to an end because of the possibility of nuclear war between the United States and Russia. So we've been, the world has having been deal with the Russians for quite some time. And it just tears our heart out that Ukraine is having to go through this. So believe me, you have our prayers and support. And we are just so excited to see a young lady like you who has come. First of all, God has used this experience to bring himself to you. That's part of it. That's part of how you met Christ, was because of this crisis. So even though the crisis is bad, there's no question about it, but he's using it to bring good, as he always does. So God bless you, Andy. That's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you both.
Perhaps you could share with us how your path crossed with others at the Lantern Rescue Operation.
So we had from the beginning of the war, we had a strong team. And we had some experience in working with needed people. And also we had some project for helping IDP, internally displaced people from 2014. So we had some experience of volunteering, but once the war started in February 2022, it was a massive attack, like a massive invasion. That's why we unified all our forces and powers of our team. And a lot of volunteers said that I will quit my job and I will leave this time on my savings because I want to be a full-time volunteer. And now we have 50 volunteers only in a warehouse where we are helping internally displaced people, but also we had a project for helping soldiers. And it's another teams, and we also have our therapy for children, and also we have Bible schools children once a month. So from the beginning of the war, just God connected us with Lantern Rescue. They just asked our mutual friend from the States, do you know any team in Ukraine who is passionate about serving God and everything? And they connected with me, and we started from the feeding people on the train station because it was very relevant for that moment. People just came through our city from occupied city or from frontline in the trains crowded with people, and they just was escaping, and they could spend like night and a day in a row in this trip. So they came to our train station starving, tired, exhausted, and we feeded them like three times per day. This is how we started our work with war. And also we evacuated a lot of women with children abroad. So we helped them to cross the Poland border or Romania border, because we didn't want to leave them just on the border, you know, because it's a very vulnerable situation for them, for human trafficking and everything. So we, our volunteers, help them to be evacuated safely. And after a couple months of the war, we started to help internally displaced people, which now are living in our city, in hospitals, schools, renting apartments. And it's not like very comfortable apartments. Sometimes we had these families, which like 10 members of one family living in one room apartment, just on mattresses, don't have a lot of space for each other and everything. So we are trying to create a good, safe place where they could be fitted, where we could give them clothes, medicine, and hygiene stuff, and also counseling and prayer.
Wow. Now, was Lantern founded by Ukrainians, or is it an outside Ukraine organization?
No, this is a local organization in the United States, and actually they have a big ministry through all the world, not only Ukraine. And the mission of this organization in the first place was human trafficking, and now when they see this conflict in Ukraine, they're helping us in this crisis. It's like different projects of their work here.
Okay. Yeah, I know. What I'll do for our viewers is I will post a link on the video to the Lantern Rescue Operations, and you are the Ukrainian coordinator for that. I also will post the link of a video of your Morning Star Church and the outreach that your church is doing also. Is there any other postings that I should show visually that you would want to share with our viewers?
I think that video of our work in Ukraine will be enough, and also website of Lantern Rescue, it's good enough.
Okay. So as you're working, what is a day like? Is there been a special day that just stands out more than others?
At the first days of the war, we was sleeping only like 3 hours per day, because my number and my pastor's number, we had like website of the church, of our NGO, and people trying to find such organization when they are trying to escape. Or, for example, old women could try to help their grandchildren to escape. So they will call us, somebody like non-governmental organization or church. So our numbers was on that website. That's why we had calls every day, all night. And we also had our own work in our local place. That's why we were sleeping like for a couple months, it's only three hours per day. But now it's more stable. So we, personally, me, I had like coordinating all these projects. So if I used to be at the office before the war, now I'm just running through all the town for meetings and for raising funds, calling, writing grants. But also I'm in the warehouse helping people, praying about people, because it's never enough of the hands. Because like, could you imagine at the beginning of the war, we could have like 600 people in a line for one day in the warehouse. Now it's like 200 of IDPs, and we still don't have enough hands and enough people to serve them, because our purpose is not only to give them the package of food and ask them, okay, you can go. Well, our purpose is to counsel them, to let them share their story, and after that to share gospel and to pray about them. So that's why we are spending with every single person at least 15 minutes. And we have every day like from 25 to 30 volunteers. That's why I'm struggling between different projects, and my days much different than it was before the war. Before the war, I was some office girl, just answer the call, making some documents and everything. And we had a lot of good projects like family festivals and everything. But now we're just working from 6 a.m. till midnight, and you never know what will be tomorrow.
Yeah, that's for sure. When you, if you can give me a little bit of an idea about, say, your food situation, are you still able to take yourself down to the local supermarket and buy food, and they have it there on the shelves? Or are you getting relief packages from the United States and other countries? How's that working?
So central and western part of Ukraine is still like, we are still have this functioning. So we have stores and markets. And when we had air defense, so when air defense see that some enemy drone or rocket is coming to a city, they will turn on the siren. While this siren, all people must to hide in a shelter, bomb shelters, or in the basement, or even in a bathroom somewhere. So we could have every day like five sirens in a row. So sometimes it's not hard to go to the market and to buy food, because we had a lot of food. We just need the funds to buy that. But sometimes it's very difficult just to do that because nothing is open because of the siren. And so that's why it's like everything could be on a pause while a day. But for sure, especially in my city, it's very close to the capital. So we are like in a stair in this time. We could hide people, we could serve them in this time. Because in eastern part and closer to Kherson Oblast, which is occupied now, it's fighting its front line. And also on the borders with Belarus, all the villages, they are empty. They don't have electricity, they don't have good water, and also they don't have a lot of food enough for people. That's why we are like loading our big trucks, and we are going to cross to borders, to Belarus border or to front lines, and we are just feeding people in the villages.
Wow.
So for us, this economic situation is pretty good enough. Only struggling is sirens.
Yeah. Oh, God bless you, Anya. Thank you for being willing to put your life on the line and help people and feed people and give people medicine and counseling. And boy, God has got, I can see, Herb, that he raised up Anya for that. What is it, just like Esther, for a time like this? Wow.
It's amazing. And also what an inspiration it is for other young people that are going to see this, especially in Ukraine. They'll look at Anya and they say, well, gee, I should be doing this too. And hopefully they will join in and stay and be strong and stand up and speak out and help in many ways that they can. Anya, this is your first visit to America?
Yes, and it was even my first flight.
Well, what is your reaction of America?
I was amazed about North Carolina State because I saw the name of Jesus on every corner. And we had, we also in Ukraine, we have freedom of journalism, freedom of our world, and also we have freedom of faith. But the Christian culture is not on such high level as it's here. So it's just amazed me, and it made me even more passionate to bring this culture to Ukraine, to see so many Christians in just common life. So, you know, I guess it's very important to make this heart in our country.
So the church there, did I say that right in my earlier prayer? It's called Morning Star?
Yes, exactly.
And can you, is it okay to name the name of the pastor, or should we keep it that quiet?
I guess it's okay. He is
Okay.
a chaplain now. He is helping a lot of soldiers, but I hope God will protect his name.
Okay.
So his name is Alex, and
Okay.
he is very like such a strong believer. And in his past, he was one of the mafia heads. You know, he was drug addicted,
Wow.
and in '90s he met Jesus Christ, and it was a big revelation, like a big breakthrough in Ukraine after Soviet period broke down, and American missionaries started to came to our country and share gospel, and people were so thirsty about spiritual and about gospel about Jesus, because they was living in like country where no everybody tried to say you that God does not exist. So people were struggling for many, many years to live without God. And when Soviet regime was broke, everybody just was falling down on their knees. And my pastor has such a great testimony how he become free after many years of drug addiction. And he was in mafia, but he became a pastor, and he came to Vinnytsia like a missionary, and he started to service. And now we have seven churches in different location in
Wow.
our.
You got seven churches. I have a friend who's a pastor of a church in Lviv, Yelisey Pronin, and he is saying it's amazing how many people are finding Christ during this crisis. Are you seeing the same thing in your church, people accepting Christ because of this war situation?
Like we are going to the villages with humanitarian aid, and we never like giving just packages of food. We are gathering people, and we are sharing gospel, and we are praying with them. And after that, we had like face-to-face fellowship with everybody. And in our city, we're also in our warehouse, we're helping people personally. So we have one volunteer for one person for 15 minutes, and we are sharing gospel. And like already we had so many, I don't even know the numbers, but it's like even more than 50 IDPs which came here, and they used to be unbelievers, but they listened to gospel, they knew that Jesus Christ has a great news for them, and they become members of the church. So for sure people become more open to God, to real God. But unfortunately we still have to pray, because Orthodox culture is very strong in our country, and sometimes people of middle age, they will say that Baptist churches and evangelical churches are cult, because Orthodox church name us as a cult. And
Wow.
like people from my generation, they could Google, you know, so that's why they have more open borders in their mindset. But people from middle age, they stuck in these stereotypes, and that's why it's sometimes you could serve a woman after 50, and she will pray with you and she'll repent, but you will invite her to the church to become a member, to become a part of body of Christ, and she will say, oh no, thank you, I'm already visiting my church on Easter, you know, once a year. Yes,
Tell our listeners again what an IDP is.
eternally displaced people.
Okay.
Now, evil that we're battling here in our country, and we're really sorry that this got rooted. But I was wondering if you have it in your country as well. Is abortion legal in Ukraine?
No.
Wow, isn't that something? Now their culture, which is basically atheistic, but they don't allow abortion. And here we are with, as Anya has pointed out, churches on every corner, and we're fighting that battle. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, but you know, people are still doing that, hiding with the black medicine on black markets. So we have a lot of sickness, women's sickness in that way. So it's the main answer on such a question, just continue to share gospel and to tell so many people as you can, because this is the foundation of everything. If woman will be born again from the heaven, she will never ask you about abortion. But if she not, she will find the way how to do that, with law or illegally. Unfortunately, it works like that way.
Wow. Share with us a little bit more about the art program and the young children and how that's helping them.
We have two programs for children. First of them is Art Therapy Center. And we got this idea when we saw how many children are coming to our warehouse with their parents. And the parents are very stressful. They are stressed and they are hurted by this war. So children become too aggressive or hyperactive, or sometimes they didn't smile at all. They scared, and for sure they traumatized like their parents traumatized, because a lot of them came after shelling in humanitarian corridors and after bombing, after hiding in basement for several days. That's why they need some kind of therapy. When we noticed that, we started our project of our therapy center named Workshop of Goodness. And our team is volunteers, teachers from occupied territories even. They just came and said, I have an experience of working with children. Do you have any children programs? And we sure we do. So they are doing what they can, even losing everything, their occupied territory. They are starting a new life. And the main point of this art therapy center, it's even not only painting, dancing, singing songs, playing games, but we are praying about every single name in the list of children who are coming to us. We are working every day. But also, we're just showing them the love, because when we came, my family came to a new place, my youngest brother was 7. And when he came to school, nobody knows how to behave with him. So his teacher called my mom and said, you should show your child to any of therapists, because he is stupid. He is not talking at all. And my mom just said, no, you need to show him some love, some receiving, you know. And now we know how to behave with children after trauma. So we are doing our best. But also we had such a very, just I like to talk about this project. It's like Bible school events, like family events, where we created a territory for adults, for parents, local parents, members of the church, but also for internally displaced families. So parents could just make some connections in the city where they don't know anybody. But they are coming with their children, and whole this event is for children. And all our team, we are wearing different costumes, we are playing games, we are singing a song, dancing. And every time it could be different topic. Once we did a topic about superheroes, and I like to talk about that because it's like everybody knows who is Spider-Man, everybody knows who is Batman. But at the end of this event, we are sharing with them gospel, and we are saying that the main hero who will save our country, who will save your family, and who will save you personally is Jesus Christ. And parents like this very much, but children, when they are coming, we are not turning on the loud music, or we couldn't use balloons. We couldn't be just funny, because we know that children are coming with trauma. Every sound could scare them. But after 1 hour in this love environment, in this atmosphere, they become normal children, and we start dancing, playing games, just having fun. So I'm seeing how this serving this ministry is healing children. And I will tell you some story. This is my favorite story. At the first event, some mom came to me from IDP family. She came to me and she said, I wanted to thank you because my 12 years old girl didn't smile after we escaped from Kharkiv. And she was escaping under the shelling, and she used to live in basement for some time. So she didn't smile for 3 months. But on your event, she was smiling for 2 hours. And I just want to say thank you for that. Wow. So it's one of the hundreds of stories, because every month we have this event. And every time it's like hundreds of children and hundreds of parents are coming there.
Wow. That's one thing that is so overlooked, is the effect of war and those kinds of hardships on children. And like you stated, even as an older person, when in 2014, you talked about how it affected you. And it can and certainly will. And even for Christians, Christians can struggle with this when things get as bad as they are in your situation. So that's one reason why Herb and I are so impressed with how the Lord has helped you through this situation. And I would like to request, if it's possible, would you be able to say in your native language, would you be able to say John 3:16? You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. You know, I think it's the most famous verse in the Bible in all the world. Would it be possible for you to say that in your native language?
Sure.
Please do.
Ібо так Господь полюбив цей світ, що він віддав свого сина однородного, для того, щоб ніхто не вмер, або кожен мав спасіння.
Wow. I couldn't understand it, but I could feel it. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Well, since you did that, is there a message you'd like to share with your Ukrainians in Ukraine?
Yeah, I like this psalm. It's like
you can speak in Ukraine to them if you want to.
It's okay. I will speak it in English.
Okay.
this is my favorite psalm because it's asking us to go no matter what. So this is Psalm 119. And the verse in 112. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. So this is mean that my church, and I hope whole Christian world in Ukraine, will follow Jesus, not till the victory of Ukraine, but till the end, because we all together are building not only good country, but kingdom of God.
Wow. You brought tears to my eyes.
I know.
Jack, you know, when young people see this that are Anya's age, what an inspiration it is for American young people, you know, young boys and girls, men and women, to see the light. We mentioned the light that she has about her now, and then that light that she's going to take back with her wherever she goes, and it'll be shining even in the darkness in Ukraine. And man, what a pleasure to have you on our podcast
today.
Thank you
so much. We really ask the Lord to bless you, Anya, and protect you and your family and all the people there at Morning Star Church. God bless you, especially for what you're doing. And thank you for sharing your time with us today. Thank you.
Maybe one day we'll meet in Ukraine.
Yeah,
you're very welcome. And I'm cooking good borscht.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you again. Any last message to whoever is listening?
I'm just very thankful to everybody who is keeping praying, because it's spiritual war and you are very important. Every prayer is very important to God to help us to make this country freedom and to save people.
Amen. All right.
Okay. Thank God you, bless. Anya.
Take care. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible.
Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.